Blog Talk Radio.
America. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Kickoff from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well this evening, and we've got a good show lined up. Lots going on.
Yes, the Stars and Stripes Forever was the opening theme by the Boston Pops Orchestra and John Williams. Yes, man. So, that's such a patriotic music.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah, give me goosebumps every time I do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, just listen to that flute. Oh, Lord. Goosebumps, total goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
Glad you could join us, and that was such beautiful music. Welcome to Big Show, Season 6, Episode 50, Episode 49. It was supposed to be last night, but unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio seems to be having issues, and hopefully we'll have smooth running tonight. Call in at 515-605-9802, say your first name and where you're calling in from, and in an open mic talk format, we'll talk about everything for the past week and what may be coming up in coming week. It's about current affairs, world news, and U.S. politics. And we're glad that, you know, everybody could join us tonight and sharing across social media with your friends, family, co-workers. You know, we really appreciate that. And we're working on getting a YouTube channel, and we're working also on getting LinkedIn and other social media platforms. The only one that we may not join is X because it's so toxic, you know.
We don't like
the part of that toxicity. You know, so thanks for sharing. And we're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. So let's get cooking, Lori. And the madman Donald Trump, what he's up to is very frightening and shocking. Well, not shocking, because we expect something from a third blossom like him, where he's saying that if he loses the election, that blood will spill on the streets of America. And that's so irresponsible coming from a former president. That's, as I said, we're not surprised, but, you know, a little bit shocked and angered by his rhetoric, because, as we all know, his supporters drink Kool-Aid, and they're not really, you know, patriotic. The shout from top of the hill, we're patriotic, but, you know, are you patriotic when you support a despot, you know, like Donald Trump, who is conniving, who is cruel, who is a liar, who is a bad businessman who's been bankrupt six times? You know, how can you be patriotic when, you know, you support a loon like him? You know, and the Republican Party should be ashamed of themselves, because the party of Reagan, the party of Ike, the party of Lincoln, and you really have the nerve to support a dictator wannabe like Donald Trump. You know, he jokes on Hannity saying, oh, yes, you know, only on day one I'll be a dictator. But, you know, knowing who he is, he's a vindictive person, and you can bet your bottom dollar, your whole life savings, that he's going to go after his political enemies, real and perceived, and, you know, what's stopping him from murdering them? You know, that's why he wants presidential immunity, and hopefully the Supreme Court will give him, because with presidential immunity, you know, he can break any law and every law and not be prosecuted for it. So this is not what democracy stands for. You know, speaking of democracy, we're both a democracy and a republic. You know, I looked it up, I did research, and the next article that's coming out is about, is America a republic or a democracy? I answer that with facts and even quotes from the founding fathers and everything. So hopefully that sheds some light to our listeners and our readers. So let's get cooking, Lori. The first thing on the agenda tonight is...
Well, we can first talk.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you want, we can first talk about, you know, the orange monster being in Ohio, and he was off the rails. There is definitely something mentally wrong with him. He is in a decline, and I think that he is going to explode pretty soon, especially now because he doesn't have that that almost 100, almost $500 million dollars, wasn't it? So we can talk about that in a little bit. But I'm just saying, I think everything is hitting the fan, and he is trying everything to delay and debunk and lie and scheme and plot and anything that he can think of off the cuff. And his team, of course, are probably helping him, but at the end, it's not going to work. So, you know, he predicted a bloodbath if he loses the election. And then once, you know, everyone heard that and the media got a hold of it, they decided, you know, everyone was appalled by that, because what does that mean? Another January 6th, but worse, you know? And, I mean, that is a worry, maybe not in D.C., but maybe in some major cities. Who knows? So, you know, his little talking heads went on and said, oh, no, he did not mean a bloodbath that way. He meant a bloodbath because of the car industry. What's going to happen to the car industry? That's going to be a bloodbath if he is not elected president. What a bunch of crap. You know,
yes, indeed.
Exactly what he meant. Exactly what he meant. And nothing different. And the other thing that he said was that he said that Biden beat Obama. What is he talking about? You know,
I have no idea. Biden what? Wait, say that, because he shipped out. Biden.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's okay, I'll just read it because it's almost funny. Trump, the presumptive Republican presidential nominee confused the crowd at an appearance in Vandalia, and that was in Ohio, by insisting mm-hmm. that Biden had beaten Barack Hussein Obama in elections nationally that never took place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's losing it.
He's senile.
President.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
more yeah, he's senile, that. Actually.
It's not
and
senile.
The quicker,
I think really.
Mm-hmm. And quicker the MAGA people, so, you know, realize that, you know, the better it is, they'll be off, you know, better off they'll be, because Donald Trump, you know, is just word soup, basically, and he's incoherent. Joe Biden is sharp. His intellect is there compared to Donald Trump. I mean, you know, Joe Biden is 8-1 and Donald Trump is 3 years younger. So, you know, I think Joe Biden did a great job in putting to rest the age, you know, the age factor, because the State of the Union, he hit that out of the ballpark. It was total fire. It was absolute
mm-hmm.
brilliance on the part of Joe Biden. And when he tried to throw him off by heckling, he came back sharp mm-hmm. and witty and made him look all stupid, you know. You know, so we'll have nothing to worry about with Joe Biden. If he is, you know, falls short, then he has the professional people there to back him up, to help him make the right decisions. You know, compared to Reagan, who fell asleep during cabinet meetings and signed things when he wasn't all there. And rumor has mm-hmm. it that Reagan had Alzheimer's, you know, during the last year of his presidential term, you know. And, you know, it seems like Donald Trump is on his way there, you know. I mean, besides the crazy ideas and, you know, remember mm-hmm. him when he was president, wanting the new hurricanes. Remember, mm-hmm. you know, all of the, you know, rake the forests mm-hmm. to stop the, prevent forest mm-hmm. fires in California. I mean, who says that? Who thinks that? Who does that, you know? He's a madman. He's a lunatic, and he's betrothed to the Vladimir Putin and the Russian Kremlin. Mikhail has so much secrets mm-hmm. on him, and he owes Russian mafia so much money. Because during the 1980s, you know, when the U.S. banks and the European banks didn't want to lend him, who did he go to? You know, the mafia, mm-hmm. Russian mafia.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything that they're trying now, the American people seeing right through it. And I think, you know, when the polls come out and showing, oh, you know, he has a 5-7 point lead against Joe Biden, you can't really take polls seriously, because in 2016 when Hillary had a 10-point lead and was showing that she's going to mm-hmm. blow Trump out of the water, we saw what happened.
Mm-hmm.
With the help of Russia, of course, where, you know, Russian interference played a big part. And then mm-hmm. FBI director wrote that letter like 7 or 8 days before the election to sink Hillary Clinton. I think we had mm-hmm. a great choice in having Hillary Clinton as president, make her first mm-hmm. female president, but I guess it wasn't in the works. And even mm-hmm. though, you know, 21 other countries around the world mm-hmm. has had female heads of state, we lost a great opportunity mm-hmm. in having Hillary Clinton as president of the United States. But, you know, one of these days that will change, hopefully, you know, in 2028 and beyond, because we need a woman as president. Hey, we need a gay person. We need an Asian person as president, you know, because we need a government that resembles the population of the United States. In 2045, mm-hmm. according to the Labor Board or the Department mm-hmm. of Labor, which is nonpartisan, mm-hmm. to say America will become a minority-majority country. And mm-hmm. if conservatives and Trumpers and fringe right-wingers can't deal with, you know, what America looks like now, imagine when we become a minority-majority country, where the mm-hmm. collectively their heads will explode. So, you know, they mm-hmm. need to, like, get over themselves and realize that mm-hmm. if this is the 21st century and not the 18th century, where the white person was on top of the totem pole and basically they peed mm-hmm. on everybody that was below them, including women, including black people, including immigrants, you know. So, you know, Native Americans especially, the tears mm-hmm. of broken trail, the trail of broken tears, where with Andrew Jackson murdering and slaughtering mm-hmm. the Native Americans, mm-hmm. and now in Texas and other red states, I want to, you know, change the history books, or they have changed the history books, you know, and pretty mm-hmm. it up, you know, so all that way changed because I feel you know, a gut feeling that places that Democrats never usually win, they'll win. You know, it's not only on the federal level, but the statewide level and on local level, you know, because people are so sick and tired of Republicans not offering anything. And when Democrats try to offer things, all they're saying is no. You know, they tried to go after Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. President Biden put a stop to that, which is a good thing, you know. You know, they'll change the leadership soon. John Thune may become the minority leader. And, you know, the two other Johns are also running for minority leader. So we'll see, because all of them who are running for the Mitch McConnell's job are whack jobs, you know. So it's a lesser of two evils or three evils, you know. And who's to say that Skeletor, Senator Rick Scott, may not run for the position as well because he has seniority. And, you know, he could build a coalition to get the job. And he's the worst of the lot, really.
Yes, he is. You know, Biden was at, on Saturday night, he was at the Gridiron Club dinner. It was a traditional roast attended by politicians and dating to the 1880s. And when he got up to speak, this is what he said. And I thought it was kind of, I think it's funny. One candidate is too old and mentally unfit to be president. The other one is me, the president said, but don't tell him. He thinks he's running against Barack Obama. That's what he said, Biden added, referring to several previous occasions when the 77-year-old Trump has confused the incumbent and the presumptive 2024 opponent with his Democratic predecessor. So let's just hold on to that, because President Biden is with it. He might be a little slow when he's walking, but he's with it mentally, and that's important. That's really important, and I trust him. I really do.
Yeah, because Joe Biden has proven himself. On the other hand, Trump hasn't. When the COVID thing was going on, he says, "Oh, inject yourself with bleach, or you know, shine light up your asshole, you'll get better." Or the weather, will, you know, the heat will kill it. You know, rubbish like that. And people actually took horse pills, you know, and dewormer and everything, and it killed people. You know, so he should be held responsible. Well, of course, no accountability when it comes out to Donald Trump. And speaking about accountability, he has to sell his assets because Chubb, that's the Russian place that you know, want to put up the money for you know, paying E. Jean Carroll and the state of New York, the Letitia James case. The carry is the money, so he's gonna have to sell his assets and everything, you know. And that's a good thing, because accountability coming into play now, you know. And you know, and we'll have somebody holding on since the start of the show. We put her right through now. Long-time listener, long-time caller, Elaine from Michigan. Hello, Elaine. Welcome to the show. What's cooking tonight?
Oh, nothing much, but Donald Trump did make another threat. He said that he was going to put tariffs on anything and everything that was not made in the United States. Now, we know that the world is a global economy, and if he puts tariffs, this is along with his car threat, if he puts tariffs on the parts that go to the cars are going to be absolutely out of sight. Nobody will be able to afford them, not even the rich man.
No.
I mean, the man, he is talking, I don't know, from outer space?
He doesn't. He has no clue. You know, he goes off script, Elaine. That's the other thing, is that he goes off script. They have a script in front of him, and he just goes off script, and then he goes off the rails. And he starts talking in circles and in tandems, and he starts threatening people and, you know, talk about migrants. He even talked about migrants over the weekend as well. You know, he's appalling. He just, you know, he's not bluffing when he says things. So that's the whole thing. He means what he says. I think he really does think about all these awful, horrendous things on a daily basis. It's his revenge tour. It'll be like a revenge tour.
Well,
all I can say
is
people that are going to vote for him. Oh,
Pardon?
I'm sorry.
She's making a point, Elaine, but remember,
the people
you know, the
that are
going to
vote
year.
For him think the way he does, and thank God it isn't everybody. And he is mad at the UAW. He thought that he could rent a factory for $20,000, get signs made, pay actors, and that he could fool all of the UAW. He might fool some of the fools, but he hasn't fooled them all.
No.
The majority of the UAW, I think, has got a head on their shoulders. They work hard. They play hard. They love hard. They pray hard. And and they got a head on their shoulders. They're smart people. And they know that he rented a shop just to pretend that he was with them.
And also have to keep in mind, we have to keep in mind that the last year of his presidency, he had a steel tariff against China, and that really sent, you know, prices through the roof in different things, you know, and it really screwed over, you know, Americans in terms of paying more things, more money for things that we usually, you know, get as a modest price, you know, and he was trying to get back at China, you know, and it just backfired spectacularly, you know. So I hope people keep that in mind and remember what he did, and he wants to do it again. You know, everything coming in have a tax, a real high tax. So, you know, people, the other countries are not going to, like, trade with us anymore, because another thing that's happening is BRICS. BRICS nations is Brazil, Iran, Russia, China, and South Africa. And 40 other countries are lining up waiting to join BRICS. Why? Because BRICS offering probably a bigger and better economic deal than America. And, you know, they're challenging America's supremacy in trade and industry and commerce. You know, so God forbid that Donald Trump comes back into being as president, you know, and he saw the call into Russia, you know, that everything Russia says he has to do because they have secrets for him, you know. And, you know, we cannot afford Donald Trump as president because, you know, he is just not a nice person, and he's incompetent as president when he was president. And like you say, when he speaks out his ass, basically. He makes things up. He babbles, even though he may have a teleprompter in front of him. You know, and he's just incompetent. He doesn't belong there. You know?
Yep.
And all he and Republicans will do is just give tax cuts to the wealthy. In his first 4 years as president, $7 trillion it was in tax cuts for the rich. Why give them more?
Oh, yeah. Well, because, you know, that way they'll be friendly towards him. You know, money talks. You know, the other thing is that we have to talk about for a second is at that rally, and this will be the last thing because I'm trumped out, but he also said, he started, first of all, in 2016, his campaign there. He was declaring undocumented immigrants as rapists. I don't know if you guys remember that, but I do remember that. You know, he dehumanized them, you know, even further. And, you know, he was saying they're not people, they're animals. And then he went on to say, on Saturday, he went on to say, I don't know if you can call them people. In some cases, they are not people, in my opinion, Trump said at an Ohio rally on Saturday. But I'm not allowed to say that because the radical left says that's a terrible thing to say. These are bad. They are not, these are animals, he added, and we have to stop it. And then he went on to say, That was all he said about that. You know, and it's going to, and then he said, when I'm elected, we are going to have the largest deportation effort in history. Trump dehumanizes migrants, some more than starts reading the snake. I mean, he is dumb. You know, he doesn't even think that these people are worth being on this earth. And I think this orange monster is not worth being on this earth. He is a cancer to this country. There is no other way to put it. And the other thing, and I'm going to stress this every single time we're on the show, is that we have to put it in our heads that we must defeat him at the ballot box. That is the only way we are going to truly win. And
amen.
Because he feels, the reason I'm saying that is that the media, first of all, we've listened to him since what, 2016? Here we are, 2024. Since 2020, he's been saying that his election was stolen. You know, he's been saying that over and over, thousands and thousands of times. So there, his base really does believe that the election was stolen. The morons that are in his base thinks that the election was stolen. And yeah, do I think that they're going to possibly do a January the 6th? Maybe not in D.C., but I think certain cities in the country may have violence. I think some of the polling stations will have some violence. I do. That's why if you can vote by mail, do it. That is the best way. It's the safest way. You can track your ballot on the internet. You can see when it's read, and you can see that they have received it, and you can see that you have voted. Go and do it by mail. Don't even mail it. Drop it off at your polling place. Drop it off at your city hall. You know, they have cameras. They can see you dropping it off. It makes you feel good that it's there and it's safe in the ballot box. That is what we have to do. Cannot depend on anyone else to save us except ourselves. That's who has to save us. We have to save ourselves. And we are going to do that by voting in mass, in numbers that there is no way that they can say we cheated. None whatsoever. So that's my rant for the night.
Laurie, can I add to that a little bit?
Sure you can.
All right. What we must remember, not only the presidential, we have seen what has happened with other issues. We have to vote. The Republicans in your area, out. The ones that have gone against your wishes. Women, listen. Please, listen. For the first time in your life, be a one-issue person. Because those representatives have not only voted against your body, but they are voting against everything else. They're taking books away from your children. They're taking food away from your children. There are states where children go hungry in every state. And there is no reason why a Republican governor, senator, or whatever, or local politician should say, we're not going to feed the children.
Yep.
Please, you have got to think about this from dog catcher on up.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get out there, and you have to know who you're voting for. And judges, if you want a fair trial, you had better pay attention to who's running and what they believe in.
Yes.
If you've got a flicky politician that says, well, I really am for you women, but I kind of like what the Supreme Court said about abortion. That doesn't fly. You think about every stinking person that's running. Women, too. Women, too. Mm-hmm. Some women are off charts.
Yeah,
that's my rant for tonight. Thank you.
You're
Madeline
welcome.
And Susie's online. Susie, hello,
oh.
Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Well, good evening. I was
good
watching
evening.
The very beginning of the Rachel Maddow show, and she
mm-hmm.
mentioned a name out of the past, Paul Manafort. Remember
oh, yeah.
him?
Mm-hmm.
He
yeah.
was the Orange Monsters campaign chairman, and he came from Russia making millions of dollars out of taking money from Russian oligarchs into
mm-hmm.
Putin's pockets. Well, guess what? He's coming back. He's bringing him back,
yep.
and he wants him
yep.
as campaign chairman, even though he went to prison for, you know,
yep.
corruption and Russian ties, but, you know, who pardoned him. And you know who
yep.
else
mm-hmm.
he's bringing back? He's talking about bringing back Rich Gates, who stayed 45 days in jail. Roger Stone was supposed to do over 3 years but got pardoned. Mike Flynn
yep.
went to prison. Bannon was
yep.
supposed to be charged and go.
Yep.
Two of Trump's lawyers are now in trouble with the RICO law, and Navarro is getting 3 months in prison. All these and others are coming back and being his Russian connection. So he needs cash really bad, and the first thing he did is bring Manafort back. Why do you think that happened?
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm.
Talk about money
cash.
Connection.
Mm-hmm. Forget the cash.
Oh, for
yep,
sure.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and another thing
yeah.
that's scary on the Russian thing, Warsaw is building bomb shelters because they're scared
mm-hmm.
as hell.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, and the thing is that Manafort did go to prison. And then during COVID, he got out of prison because of COVID, and he only stayed like a year in prison. I mean, they didn't let anyone else out. Any of the other prisoners they didn't let out. But they let him out of prison, and he's been on what do they call it, house arrest all this time. It's appalling.
It was a Rachel said it was a GOP commission that found him guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
of connections with
yeah.
Russia and criminal, you know, all
yeah.
the criminal crap he did.
Yeah.
So yeah,
yeah.
it's and
so,
now he's bringing him back for his campaign manager.
But I thought that I read that he is under house arrest until November of 2024. So
he can do a lot of damage in his house. There's internet and everything.
He can probably do things from his computer and his home
yeah.
and, you know, all of that. So what I'm trying to say, where is justice? Where is the justice? I feel so upset with our judicial system. I feel so angry because I feel as if these people are getting breaks after break after break, and they have broken laws, and they are traitors to our country, and they will come back and do worse. Because now, like I said, it's going to be a revenge tour. That's what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they will
mm-hmm.
be part of it.
And all these connections with the foreign countries, especially
yes.
Russia and
yes.
Saudi Arabia and all that.
Yes.
He's desperate for money, the Orange Monster. Nobody wants
no.
to do his bond and,
no.
and do the money, guarantee his loans, because he
mm-hmm.
cheats everybody and,
yes.
you know, doesn't pay his bills and screws everyone, and this time he can't do it because the government wants their money and he doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you think he's all of a sudden going to get it? It won't be long.
Well, we
mm-hmm.
will see. You know,
mm-hmm.
He's been unable to get the bond for the $464 million. You know, they went
yeah.
to, I think I read, they went to 30. They have asked 30 different, I don't know what they're called.
Yeah, they pay the bond guarantee.
Yeah, they're not banks. I don't really know.
No, and you got to pay him high interest loans too.
Yes. Well, as of right now, he is $112,000 a day in interest. David, you see that what I just sent you about Trump being unable to get his bond? Do you see it there? It's there?
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, the lawyers are going
to
the court. Oh, he can't
get
it. I went, oh, goody.
I was trying to get Madeline to call back in because she called, and by the time I pressed the button, she hung up on everything. So hopefully Madeline called back and everything.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it looks like he went to, they approached 30 security companies. Through four separate brokers, and they all said no. They all said
surprise.
No. And then said their efforts, including countless hours negotiating with one of the largest insurance companies in the world, have proven that obtaining an appeal bond and the full amount of the judgment is not possible under the circumstances presented, the filing said. The other bond companies not accept hard assets as real estate as collateral, but will only accept cash or equivalents such as marketable securities, the filing said.
Mm-hmm.
The lawyers, all companies typically require collateral of approximately 120% of the amount of the judgment, which would total about $557 million. In addition, sureties would likely charge bond premiums of approximately 2% per year with 2 years in advance, an upfront cost of over $18 million. The $18 million would not be recoverable even if Trump wins his appeal. So he needs to do this before he can appeal. I love it. And he's got 11 days to come up with the cash. And my question is, what happened to his son-in-law, who got the $2 billion from the Saudis? Why hasn't he coughed up the money?
Yeah, what's a half a billion in the family, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Jared Kushner is back in the Middle East looking for more money. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah, the corruption never ends with a Trump crime family. Yeah.
Oh,
no. Honor among thieves.
Mm-hmm. And afraid of truth. Liz Cheney hit back at Donald Trump after he attacked Capitol riot investigations. During a weekend of aggressive rhetoric, Donald Trump attacked former Congresswoman and third-in-line Republican-led host Liz Cheney. But one time, Wyoming lawmaker, one of his most vocal critics, hit back, accusing him of being afraid of truth. Donald Trump, who was called for prosecuting a number of political opponents, should he return to the White House, targeted Liz Cheney over dubious claims that the White House or the House Committee that investigated the Capitol riots sat on evidence related to the January 6, 2021 insurrection. Quote, she should go to jail along with the rest of the unselect committee, Trump said Sunday in a Truth Social post. Cheney, defeated for a re-election bid in 2022 by a Trump surrogate, responded by saying that the former president is lying again. In a post on X, formerly Twitter, Cheney said Trump and his attorneys have long had evidence compiled by the former committee, and they are only trying to delay criminal trials related to the insurrection attempt. While Trump has not yet been charged with inciting the Capitol riot, he does face sweeping federal charges accusing him of trying to steal 2020 elections from President Biden. So do you think that Jack Smith will charge him eventually with that crime of inciting the insurrection? What do you think, Lori?
I sure hope he does. I think he should. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know why he didn't, but I think that he should. Absolutely. He did incite an insurrection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because remember, Tino, that The vice president didn't play along. The White House counsel didn't play along. The White House aides campaign and DOJ officials have all testified against Donald Trump, and he's afraid of the truth, you know, and he should be afraid of the truth. So after the violence of January 6th, Liz Cheney became one of the 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach Trump on allegations he started violence on that day. And, you know, I think Jack Smith have that card up his sleeve, and it shot Trump and everything when he drops it when the trial eventually happens. And I don't think a trial will come before the November elections. None of them will come. It's probably all the Stormy Daniels trial and everything. Madeline, welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Hi, Mad. What's going on? Hello?
Hi. Yes,
oh,
ma'am.
I don't know about
so that. You have anything to add?
I can't hear.
Hello. Well, you can't hear her? Are you there?
No, I'm here.
Hello?
I'm here. Hello. Hello. Mm-hmm. I'm here. Hi, Susie. Hi, everybody.
Hi,
everyone. I just heard Rachel finish saying, "How coincidental, Paul Manafort just shows up 1 week before the money's due." Because he has the ties to the oligarchs in Russia. $100 million from one, $100 million from another, $100 million from another.
Yeah,
you can kiss our democracy
goodbye.
That's
what I saw at the beginning of her show, and I had to let Lori and Dave know. Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah, that's why he's back.
Yeah, for sure.
Otherwise, he's got nothing to contribute.
And did you see where she put up all the people that were in his office, all the everybody in his cabinet, everybody that was in? There's dozens and dozens that are now campaigning to say, "Don't elect him. He's nuts. He's going to ruin our country." I mean, all the ones that knew anything that was going on, I'll say he's incompetent. He's crazy. Please, please, please do not vote
he's
for him.
Desperate. He's desperate.
Yeah.
When you're
all
desperate.
The people that were in his, you know, in his cabinet and everything don't want him in there. So they're starting to scream about it. And I hope the Democrats really pound that out to the public. They got to know he is insane and he's going to ruin our country. And he's looking for money from Russia and probably China and other places going to sell them secrets for that money. They're not going to give it to him on his looks.
No, please. He'll owe them.
Pence,
go ahead.
Pence went out officially and said he is not endorsing him because of January 6th. He said out loud. So Pence went through puberty and is now a man. He said he would not endorse Trump.
Well said, Elaine.
Yes.
Hi, Elaine.
And you're absolutely right, and I still have no respect for Pence. I will never respect him. He doesn't demand
it. He's a mama's boy. Come on.
Yeah, it isn't even that so much, you know. It isn't
what
even
you
that
ladies
so.
Should remember, the ladies in the listening audience, if you think Putin is ruthless and he puts women in prison to die, what do you think Trump will do to Miss Cheney if he gets elected? He will put her in prison.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
He said he's going to get even. Retribution. That's all he's talking about. Stupid.
Right.
Yeah. Retribution for what?
Now, here's the part I think that is very scary. Is these fools that follow him.
Yeah.
And believe the same thing.
I know.
So how do we stop that?
You can't.
All I can think of is if all these people that work for Trump are now turning him on him, they got to yell about this and show about it and say how ignorant and dangerous he is and just beat the bushes. These are all people that work for him and they're turning against him because that's the only thing they can do if they have a conscience. So
now, what
I'm
about
thinking
his...
that will help turn the tide, I'm hoping.
What about his base?
That's what I'm Well, they'll hear it anyways. They figure, geez, that guy worked for Trump for all that time and did all that stuff, and now he doesn't like him? He's telling the truth?
His base was there before he came aboard. His base is always there. His base will always be there. Well, if 50 years from now there'll be another Trump, there'll still be another base. We'll always have that
base, and
people.
That's how Mussolini and Hitler got there.
We just have to make sure that we get out there and fight for the best, fight for the country that we live in.
And as
Whoopi Goldberg says, we have to vote. Capital V-O-T-E, vote.
Everybody.
You cannot have an excuse. Yeah, you can't have an excuse. There are no excuses not to vote in this election. Even if you are a one-issue voter, even if there's one thing that you agree with the Biden administration, one thing, it's all you need to agree, and then you vote for him for that one issue. Be a one-issue voter then. You know, do that. Women's rights, you know, of course, abortion rights, you know, women's being able to choose, you know, what they want for their own bodies, you know, LGBTQ rights, those, be a one-issue voter if you have a child that's LGBTQ, you know. If you have kids in school and you know their books are being banned, vote for that. I mean, even if you don't like Democrats in general, you have maybe a one issue will sway you to understand that these people on the other side, these MAGA Republicans, are insane. And shame on the Republicans that are in there that have fallen in line with him. Not just the MAGA crazies that we know about, like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert and, you know, those we know about. But what about the other ones? You know, what about the other ones that
like
are
Johnson.
Fallen in line and are silent?
Yep.
And are silent. They're like sheep.
Cruz,
they're
Hawley.
Like sheep. Pardon? Yeah.
They're Cruz, Hawley, all of them.
I mean, there's some that we already knew that were going to fall, that were already gone. But there are Republicans out there that still have a moral compass, still love their country, I think, and still have a reason to vote. You know,
I have a reason today. Did you hear about Biden signing an executive order on women's health research?
Yeah.
In particular, women with in menopause age, because we get more osteoporosis and heart conditions.
Yeah.
And this was in honor of Women's Month or Week or whatever it was.
Yeah, Women's Month.
It was signed today.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good to hear. Listen, I have that clip of Donald Trump talking about, you know, the bloodbath for the country if he's not elected. And hopefully people will hear it and can hear it. Here it is.
For the country, that'll be the least of it. If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. If I get elected.
Yes, I don't know if, you know, people heard it clearly and everything. So he said those words. If I get elected or not get elected, there's going to be a bloodbath.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cutting right what he said. You know, he's rolling up his people to say, here what? When I lose, not if, but when I lose, go out there and start murdering people. That's how I translate that as.
Exactly.
What a disgusting human being.
I heard that about 3 times today.
David, he's not human. I have come to the realization that he is not a human being. He is not.
Mm-hmm.
He's a desperate human.
He's a disgusting pig. You know,
right,
no,
David?
No disrespect to pigs anywhere, but Trump's a disgusting pig.
Not even a pig. No, pigs are better than him.
No, animals don't do this to one another.
You're giving him justice. Pigs are very intelligent animals, okay? You've got to go beyond. You got to go to the next level.
Yeah.
You know, so after he makes that statement, what are the Republican leaders saying? You know, are they trying to rein him in, or what did they say about him making this particular comment?
Well, what they said was, to defend him, was that he was in Ohio, where they, you know, they have car plants there, and they said that he was talking about the car industry. It's going to be about bloodbath with the car industry. What the hell is he talking about? The car industry.
Yeah, but he didn't,
if he was referring to the car industry, what? He wants the people to be out on the street? Oh, he really loves the UAW, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
No, but the thing is, that the statement he made has nothing to do with the car industry. He said, if I lose...
Yeah.
I understand that, but with them turning it around, with them turning it around, he doesn't like the people that work in the car industry? He doesn't care if they're in a bloodbath?
No,
he doesn't, Elaine.
So, I mean, they can keep turning the dialogue around. It isn't working anymore.
No, it's not. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I thought that was funny. He was talking about the car industry, the bloodbath for the car industry. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Because he wants the union people to go side with him.
Yeah, he
does.
Mm-hmm. But
he wants to bust that union and side with him.
Yep. Well,
his people that said he was talking about the union.
Yeah.
They keep trying to twist his narrative around.
Yes, they do. Yep. Absolutely do.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's insane.
And sure, piss off the UAW. And, fella, that you just lost some more votes. Because not everybody's brain dead.
No, You better believe it. Absolutely or not, you know. Let's talk, David, you see the Jared Kushner? Let's talk a little bit about him. He's on my nerves.
He's on my last nerve.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You see
the sort of things that Joe Biden did as president, that's what you're talking about, right?
No, I'm talking about Jared Kushner.
Oh, Jared Kushner, yes, that article,
yeah.
Jared Kushner.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. I soon find it. Yes, so Jared Kushner, he has new foreign deals and sparked corruption accusations. As we all know, he's gone back to the Middle East. And it was Robert Garcia, Congressman Garcia from California, the Democrat, who said that after news broke that Kushner's new foreign real estate deals came through, and Kushner, the son-in-law of Donald Trump, who was a senior White House official in the Trump administration and worked on policy for the Middle East, posted pictures of early design images for his new developmental project in Albania and Serbia on X on Friday. So the proposed projects include luxury buildings off the coast of Albania and in Belgrade, the capital of Serbia. And as Kushner told the New York Times Friday, "We are very excited. We have not finalized these deals, so they may not happen, but we have been working hard and are pretty close," end quote. So the deal would be made through Kushner's investment firm, Affinity Partners, which he started after he left the White House. And the firm received $2 billion from Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund, or PFI. However, his company told a newspaper it has not yet determined if Saudi funds for the project will be used. So Kushner told the New York Times again that he worked on the new deals with Richard Grenell, who served as acting director of national intelligence in Trump's cabinet from February 2020 to May 2020. However, the former president's son-in-law has received backlash for the deals. Congressman Garcia, Democrat from California, wrote on X Friday, and I quote, "Jared Kushner is back for brokering major deals with foreign governments, per news reports today. We've already exposed this $2 billion investment fund with the Saudis, and we are pushing hard to ensure that this gift gets attention it demands. This is real corruption," end the quote. So Newsweek reached out to Affinity Partners via online form and Garcia's office via email for comment. And, Robert Weissman, president of Public Citizens, which tracked business deals it considered conflict of interest during Trump's presidency, told the Times that, quote, At this point in the election cycle, Jared Kushner should freeze any new investment plans, end quote. He added, this particular investment plan seemed to be involved the worst of ever corrupt tendencies of Trump administration and Trump family, end quote. So Trump presumed the 2024 GOP presidential nominee will likely face off against President Joe Biden, the Democratic incumbent, in November. And Kushner rebuked any suggestion that he was getting special treatment because of his government ties. Telling the Times, no, one is giving me deals. So he said that his deals are in no way connected to Trump and that he was not planning to return to government if Trump's win the presidency in November. So during this AXA BFD summit in Miami last month, Kushner denied that there was any conflict of interest with the PIF and dismissed ethical concerns around accepting funds from Saudi Crown Prince, calling the country, quote, one of the most prestigious investors in the world, end quote. At a summit, Kushner was asked during a live interview if he believed that Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who he has done business with after leaving the White House, was responsible for the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Yeah, yes, he was.
Yeah.
So Kushner replied, yes, quote, I know the person who I dealt with. I think he's a visionary leader. I think what he's done in that region is transformational. So Jamal Khashoggi, as you remember, is a U.S.-based journalist critical of Saudi Arabia's leadership. And Bin Salman was killed in a Saudi consulate in Istanbul, Turkey, in October 2018. A month later, the CIA concluded that with high confidence that the Saudi Crown Prince had ordered his murder, defying the Saudi leadership, claiming that they were not involved in the killing. So this guy, Crown Prince, asshole, Bin Salman, he got his people to use a hacksaw, an electric hacksaw, and cut Jamal Khashoggi to pieces. So Trump was president at the time of the murder, denied the findings and blocked the release of the unclassified report identifying anyone participating in the case. And as far as the President Biden impeachment probe, as the Biden campaign for re-election, House Republicans continue to impeach inquiry into the president. Biden has been accused of being involved with and benefiting from his son Hunter Biden's foreign business dealings, which is nonsense because they had a closed-door thing. Hunter Biden came, and they're so chicken that they didn't want to make it public and everything. They want to parse words and twist up, you know, Hunter Biden's words and everything during that closed-door congressional committee hearing and embarrass themselves. So the White House has repeatedly denied that Biden ever had anything to do with his son's dealings, and Biden called the impeachment inquiry a baseless political stunt, which it is. You know, so Jared Kushner turned out to be everything the GOP told us Hunter Biden was. And so they're projecting, as usual, and Jared Kushner posts and tags the New York Times, who then immediately put out an article like, good PR guys, they are, you know, but Hunter Biden, there's a nothing burger there with Hunter Biden, and everything that accusing Hunter Biden of, Jared Kushner is doing. So it's projection. You know, when you want to find out what they're really doing, you know, the accused Democrats are doing something they are guilty of. You know, they're just like telling on themselves, basically. You know, it's real shameful.
It's another example. It's just like when they found all those classified documents in Biden, in Pence, and then that's when Trump went rampant. Well, he has them. Well, he has them. It's always deflection. Always deflection. That's why the impeachment. If they can impeach me, you can impeach Biden. If you're going to go after my kids, I'm going to go after his kids.
Yeah, can I say something? A couple right-wingers calling in. I'm not going to let them through, you know, because they're just going to muddy up the waters and, you know, cause an argument and derail us and what we plan for tonight and everything to talk about.
Yeah.
So, you know, right-wingers, quit calling. You're not coming on the air. You know, you prove yourselves to the idiots and jokers, and we're not letting you in. You know, call Sean Hannity or Michael Savage or somebody. You're not welcome here.
And the thing is, David, as well, the thing is, too, is that we are on a mission, and we're not going to be deterred and argue every single week with these people. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. I'm not, that's all there is to it. We are on a mission to get Democrats elected. We want Joe Biden back in the White House. We want our country to have a democracy, and we want to live in peace. And these people don't mm-hmm. care. I don't want to argue with them. You don't want to argue with
yeah.
them. Our listeners don't want to hear it. And our people and our kitchen table gang here does not want to argue as well. So we're done with it.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly.
the way it's going to be. And it's been reported as well. Trust me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's all I
so
have to say about
what
it.
Do you ladies think about a TikTok ban? Republicans want to ban TikTok, saying that China
yeah.
is using it to spy on Americans. But I feel that TikTok ban could embolden authoritarian censorship. And that's what experts
mm-hmm.
are warning, you know, because Democrats use TikTok to get through to the millennials and our younger
mm-hmm.
generation who can vote now, and Republicans
mm-hmm.
suck at it. So maybe that's why they want to ban it and everything, using the excuse that China is spying on Americans. You know, what's your
mm-hmm.
thoughts on it, Lori, and then Elaine, and then Susie, and Madeline?
TikTok, from what? I do not have a TikTok account. I'll say that right now. But I
mm-hmm.
do watch a lot of stuff on TikTok because a lot of times it gets transferred from TikTok to Instagram, or I have friends that send me TikTok videos. So I just watch them from there. So I don't have an account.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I feel about TikTok is that there are the young generation, the Gen Zers and the millennials, all love TikTok. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of Democrats on there, a lot of political ads on there. A lot of the
mm-hmm.
Gen Zers are there promoting Biden and democracy. And
mm-hmm.
that's part of what they want. The other part of it is that I'm afraid that if they make TikTok sell part, if TikTok is made to sell part of it, like they are saying that the Chinese are mining all their, you know, getting all this information and all this. Now, TikTok's been around for a long time. And, I mean, I've never really heard of any of the problems. I hear about X, how evil they are on X and how they talk to you and ban you and all this other stuff on X. But on TikTok, I don't. There's recipes on there. There's all kinds of learning things on there. People make money on there. They were
mm-hmm.
by house over the weekend that I noticed, and there was a lot of young people there saying that that's how they get a lot of business, from TikTok, and it would take
mm-hmm.
away from their business. They're not there to cause
mm-hmm.
trouble. They're there to make
mm-hmm.
a living. And, you know, some of them are influencers as well. I don't know. But
mm-hmm.
I'm afraid that if something happens and they're forced to sell, let's put it that way, and a
mm-hmm.
company that has lots of money,
billions.
Lots of money, that is more right-wing
leaning.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mnuchin's out there trying to get a bunch of people to buy it.
Yeah. We'll
Mr. Clean Treasurer, right? How much
yeah.
money did he steal while he was treasurer? Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing about that is it's kind of scary when CIA, FBI said that none of their people, if they have TikTok on their phone, can bring it to work. Leave it at home, have a separate phone
mm-hmm.
for work and
mm-hmm.
that stuff, because they're afraid that they can
mm-hmm.
leech
mm-hmm.
the information out of their phones. That's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So I think it's a lot easier to have people to work for the government, not have it on
mm-hmm.
their phone, you know,
yeah.
that they use at work. Leave it at home.
Right, right.
But, you know, if the censorship go through, you know, it's it will shatter the United States' reputation as an international champion of free speech. You know, because like you say, there are different uses for TikTok and everything. And the House of Representatives passed a Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversarial Control Applications Act this past Wednesday. And the bill
mm-hmm.
still needs a Senate vote. And then, signed by President Biden, if signed into law,
mm-hmm.
ByteDance, TikTok's Chinese parent company, would either be forced to sell TikTok or the app would be banned from app stores, according to the bill's proponents. You know, so the United States said that a driving motivation to pass such a bill is to prevent TikTok from being used to disseminate Chinese propaganda or collect information on U.S. citizens for Chinese government use. But, you know, some who are critical of the bill, a ban would cede America's moral authority when it condemns other countries over limiting their citizens' internet access. And they do have a point there, you know. Iran, for example, have limited internet access. North Korea do have internet access. If somebody in North Korea is found to be using any social media, they're put to death. You know, so what message or what signal is America sending by banning TikTok? You know,
I think it's I think it's a threat.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes, ma'am.
No, no, this is Madeline, and I'm saying, in my opinion, I think it's a trick, simply because since when has the House and the Senate ever gotten together on anything? And all of a sudden now it's TikTok? Right there, they got my attention. They're trying to, in my opinion, and this is an opinion, how I see it, I don't trust the fact that they're saying, let's blame China. Then they have to sell to the Americans, or at least anyone who's got the money. And right, Susie Mnuchin is trying. So here we go. Now China's bad. The Republicans are good. They're going to buy, boom, the next right-wing media.
Well, look what happened to
Don't trust it. It's a trick.
Yeah. Look what's happened to Twitter. You know,
it's a trick. Exactly.
You know, I mean, there it's become a hateful platform. You know, I mean, you hear things every day about, you know, what's happened. And Elon Musk does not care. And that's the other thing. He's proud. I don't care. You know, he's letting it run rampant. He doesn't care. He believes in First Amendment rights, you know, but you have to have some kind of moral ethics as well, right? I mean, you have to put some rules down. You can't be, you know, talk about, you know, racism and threatening and all that stuff. You can't be doing that. You just can't. You know,
can I ask a question?
I listened to a representative from California over the weekend, and she made a lot of sense. She said, why aren't we addressing the problem of propaganda now? She said, we have plenty of propaganda on all our social medias. She said, but we don't seem to be having it. We don't seem to be having it from China. She said, now, when China sells, who are they going to sell to, Zuckerberg?
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, Elaine. Yep.
And she said, we are not addressing the problem of social media being allowed to spread propaganda, lies, and mistruths. And she said, and these are American-owned companies.
Thank you. Right.
Yep.
That's
and she was one of the few Democrats that gave the dissenting vote.
And my question is,
just because I'm a Democrat, how many Democrats all of a sudden are looking at the dollar signs? I don't like it.
Well, that's a possibility, too. That's what I'm saying. Sure. It could be an investment for, you know, 10 billionaires or 5 billionaires. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that representative, she's absolutely right. Because Facebook, that's another one. I mean, honestly,
Meta.
You get banned and you know, timed out for saying nothing wrong. And, you know, Instagram, it's a little bit better. But I'm just saying, the platforms
all
need to be regulated in the same way. If they're going to be regulated, regulate them in the same way. No problem.
You know, they're talking about TikTok or TikTok, excuse me, TikTok stealing your information. I just find it ironic that every time I go to the doctor lately and things are entered into the computer that I get these calls from people that I can't understand addressing my issues.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's scary.
Yeah, they get it through your insurance companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't care where they're getting them from. I don't like it.
Oh, I know.
I find.
How many times can they call you? Oh, I'm calling you about your Medicare. Yeah, right, you are. Or how about your Medigap insurance? I mean, because we're old.
Stop
mentioning
what I just went to the doctor for. That's what's scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get things in the mail. Oh, you got a knee?
You know what's creepy to me? Like, you know, you were talking to, hey, I like that shoes, you know, I think I'll buy one. And as soon as you said that, it's like your phone is listening to you. And in your Facebook feed, you have ads about the particular shoes that you're thinking about, you know?
Algorithm.
I mean, I find that creepy as hell, you know?
It is creepy.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
Madeline has a question. When all these social medias were in Congress and everybody was talking with them and they were put on the spot, who represented Twitter?
I don't know if he had a representative there or not.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of his executives.
But it wasn't him himself, was it?
No, he won't talk to anybody. He doesn't know how to talk to anybody.
No,
I saw his interview with Lennon. News guy from CNN that got canned, and he was supposed to do a program with him. They were going to be partners, and then he said, contract expired.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know why, Susie? He did not like the questions Lemon, that's his name, right?
Yeah, Lemon,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, from he was on CNN.
Yep.
And he did not like the questions he was asking them. And that's why he's mad at him. But you know what? It didn't affect John. It didn't affect him at all. Lemon is still going to do his thing. And he thought it was funny, you know?
Yeah.
And,
I think the solution is all the government people need to have a work phone and then your play phone at home. And that way you're sure that important information is secure, including, you know, like bank execs and stuff like that and hospital execs that don't want those hackers to come in and, freeze all your medical records and stuff. And the schools even, they're doing it too. There's got to be a way to, put a wall on the computer to protect it. But also the stupid phone, they pick up every damn thing on the internet. And if you have a particular job, you don't have your personal phone. You want to have Twitter, keep it at home.
Yeah.
Okay. What about Amazon? How many people have Echo Dots in their house?
Not me.
How many people have the Echo?
Not me.
No, not me.
I do.
My daughter does.
I wonder who the hell is listening.
Those are creepy. Those Echo Dots are creepy.
They are. And I realized it when I got them. But that's another.
Yeah.
That's not even got nothing to do with the phone. It's another way they hear you.
I don't like the Echo Dots.
You know, speaking of creepy.
Are you talking about those Alexa things?
What?
Yes.
Those Alexa things?
Yes, Elaine.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Creepy. There's this Ohio MAGA candidate. I think he's running for the U.S. Senate against Sherrod Brown. He's running for the Republican nomination. His name is Bernie Moreno, who has accused LGBTQ rights activists of advancing a radical agenda to indoctrinate, had an adult friend find an account, quote, looking for young guys to have fun with. So Trump's still backing him. And, you know, it's the double speak by Republicans again, where, you know, they want to quash LGBTQ rights, saying that, you know, they're indoctrinating the youth of America. by, you know, reading stories and, you know, being out there who they are, like dress, you know, in drag and what have you. And that's not hurting American youth. What's hurting American youth is a double standard and a hypocrisy by Republicans who hit out against LGBTQ rights and try to censor them and basically want to kill them because it's not godly with a man sleeping with a man or marrying a man and woman with woman, you know?
Let's
so,
ask
you know,
Lindsey Graham what he thinks.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Miss Lindsey.
Exactly. Isn't that your example, David? Should ask Lindsey Graham.
Mm-hmm,
I just don't understand how the government has the right to be in your business. You know, we're turning into, you know, a Putin, you know, communist country. They're in your doctor's office. They're in your bedroom. They're in your school.
They're in your uterus.
What I do, not their business.
They're in your uterus.
Yeah.
Stay out of the uterus or stay out of the bedroom.
Oh, and now, you know, you can't have contraception. But then if you get pregnant by mistake or somebody rapes you, you can't have an abortion, even if you're going to die and you had miscarriage. You got to bleed to death in the parking lot because the doctors can't touch you. And, you know, the doctors will get sued or lose their job and all that stuff. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. What the hell?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
As Bernie Moran also said, when he went to this Finder account, he said that he's looking for young guys to have fun. That's what he said. And he's a candidate. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
And they talk
about everybody. A candidate.
Yeah. Talk about everybody else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And here they are.
Speaking of weirdos, do you know that there is a GOP candidate who is now the North Carolina public school superintendent, has a social media history that would absolutely and undoubtedly get her attention? She called for the execution of Barack Obama, and she's doubling down on that and everything. Ms. Omaro pulled off a local upset last week, winning the nomination over incumbent GOP opponent, Superintendent Catherine Truitt. But Morrow's social media posts on X and conservative alternative Parler reveal a wannabe politician with a harrowing history of violent beliefs, espousing QAnon conspiracies, and calling for the execution of several prominent Democrats, including former President Barack Obama and Joe Biden, short after he won the 2020 presidential elections. That's what CNN reported. And she wrote in a tweet on May 2020, quote, "I prefer a pay-per-view of him in front of a firing squad." She wrote that in May 2020, responding to conspiracy theory to ship Obama to Guantanamo Bay. Quote, "I do not want to waste another dime on supporting his life. He would make money back from televising his death," end quote. So in another post responding to an image in fake Time magazine cover, with Obama sitting in an electric chair, Morrow wrote, quote, "Death to all traitors," end quote. In December 2020, Morrow came down on Biden after the soon-to-be president said that he would sign an executive order to make federal employees comply with Centers for Disease Control guidelines and mask for 100 days. And she said in a Twitter quote as well, "Never, we need to follow the Constitution advice and kill all traitors. Just hashtag justice for America." So if we kill traitors, Trump should be top on that list.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
He's number one.
Right.
And all his little
In other posts, Morrow targeted Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, North Carolina Democratic Governor Roy Cooper, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, Hillary Clinton, and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer from New York. She frequently lauded QAnon conspiracies, suggesting in one post that actor Jim Carrey was drinking the blood of children and sharing the cult's catchphrases. But Morrow's political platform is similarly alarming. In February of this year, the GOP candidate advocated for an amendment to get state-boarded education abolished. effectively handing power to craft school policies to the superintendent and the GOP-controlled state legislature in North Carolina. So, you know, she went on to say, I'd like to see a constitutional amendment to get rid of the State Board of Education. If the superintendent is elected and works under the legislature, knowing that they're accountable to the legislature to oversee North Carolina Department of Public Instruction and to oversee and have impact into the superintendents in 115 districts, I think we would be so much better off because you don't have all these extra people right in the mix. So basically, you know, Republicans, as we all know, trying to rewrite history and, you know, whitewash history, you know, on slavery and other things, you know, they're just like ruin the education system even more, you know, and want to defund public schools. You know, a woman like her has no business being superintendent of any school district. You know, now what's your thing? What's your take on this crazy woman who calling for the execution of Obama and other Democrats?
China, all those countries, you know, Korea, North Korea, the robots that go by. You see them marching, stiff-legged. They're all like robots. They're brainwashed. Mm-hmm. They're in their schools. They have no rights. They don't hear the real history, and they don't know. They're just like prisoners, you know, brainwashed. Mm-hmm. And that's what she wants.
But this lady,
she's going to Korea then.
Full of hate, and she's off the ball. She's off the charts. And somebody these people better vote and understand who this woman is, because she is something dangerous.
I agree, Lori. Someone needs. Go ahead.
There's always been fascists, you know. In the 1940s, we had them here too. That Father Wetzikoglin or something in Detroit, he would spew that fascist crap. We've always had it, but now these people are spewing it all over the place. I mean, there used to be a few here and there, and now with the media, you know, they can go everywhere, and they're brainwashed. They don't hear the real news. They only listen to what they want to. You know, their own thing.
Mm-hmm. It's free speech, though, Susie.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not,
you know,
it's not fact. It's lies.
My dad told a story about a radio. There used to be a Catholic priest. I think his name was Conklin.
Yeah, that's the one I just mentioned.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He used to tell a story about that when his father put the radio on and he would put Conklin on, the five boys would hide. They would literally hide because this priest would get the father so worked up about their rotten kids that they knew they were going to get a beating. So
oh
they
God.
Would hide. So this propaganda has always been there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
and prejudice and all that's always been there. Mm-hmm. But with the social media
back in those days, Fred Cork, the father of David and Charles Cork, had billions of dollars in, you know, from Russian pipelines and what have you, and he funded things like this. You know, the John Birch Society, which is what the evangelical movement is now today. You know, that's when they came into politics and tried to label people communist and, you know, wanting to accusing Democrats of trying to, like, make America turn socialist and everything. You know, so, I mean, it's just, now it's just on steroids, basically. You know, and people should be aware that Fox News and other right-wing media like AON and Breitbart News and Fox News and whoever else, you know, they're not real news. They're propaganda, you know. And, you know, for the life of me, I don't understand why people, like our friend who called last week from Alaska, his name is Boyd, you know, saying that he just watches Fox News and don't listen to MSNBC or C-SPAN. C-SPAN is neutral. Or anybody else, because he gets his facts from Fox News. No, that's just crazy,
and
you know.
And the Internet.
And the internet, exactly.
Yeah.
Another thing that has come up in the news last week is that Fannie Willis can go after Trump in a Georgia case on one condition. Judge Scott McAfee refused Friday to disqualify her from election interference case against Donald Trump and said that the trial can proceed as soon as Willis cut ties with special prosecutor Nathan Wade, who was billing her office and thus county taxpayers for more than $728,000 in legal fees. McAfee said Willis must resolve the appearance of impropriety by either recusing herself or removing Wade from the case. No, it had nothing to do with Donald Trump's case. They had a relationship. She has a life outside of the courtroom.
Yeah.
So the judge, the district attorney, acquired an actual conflict of interest in the case through her personal relationship and recurring travels with her lead prosecutor. That's what McAfee wrote in his ruling. The court finds that the defendants failed to meet their burden proof that the district attorney acquired an actual conflict of interest in the case. And other alleged grounds for disqualifications include forensic misconduct, but also are also denied. However, the established record now highlights a significant appearance of impropriety that infects the current structure of the prosecution team, an appearance that must be removed through the state's selection of one of two options. So do you think the judge made a right call in either wanting Fannie Willis removed or Special Prosecutor Wade? You know, he quit, you know. So do you think
he
that
resigned.
Was necessary?
Yeah. Well, that was the only thing he could do because Fannie put a lot of time and effort and she's got a lot of information, you know, good hard evidence to put that RICO case down. And so he did the best he could. I mean, she's got prosecutors just in case as a backup if they want to get rid of her. But the judge said, you know, one of you got to go. And it's her case. She hired him. So, you know, it's going to go ahead. They're going to hang.
Keep in mind, Susie, that they found nothing wrong with what she did.
Yeah, no, none. This is just her
nothing wrong.
To make the MAGAs a little happy, okay?
Yeah.
Geez, you have a black woman with money. Wow.
Yeah.
But what I don't like is when the judge referred to Miss Fannie as having an attitude. How dare he? All she did was date a man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Trump already filed.
He pissed off women. He sure did.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that, that made me very angry.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, Trump
yeah, Trump. Listen, Trump filed a motion of delay because of this Fannie Willis thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know his team is accusing Willis of improper relationship with Wade and everything. But Trump lawyers argue the romantic relationship provides a legal basis for disqualification, and Willis is thrown off the case entirely.
That's
but Trump's legal team alleged that Willis and Wade had improper intimate personal relationship. Willis denied the allegations, of course. She said the relationship began in 2022 after Wade joined the case and that they paid each other's own share of the vacation bill. But the most important thing to remember is that Willis has stressed is that Trump is his co-defendants and his co-defendants are currently on trial for trying to steal an election. An election is more important than somebody's personal life, you know? And she has a right to have a personal life outside of the courtroom. So I think it's disingenuous and just smoke and mirrors what Donald Trump and his legal team, his incompetent legal team, trying. And good thing Judge McAfee sided with Willis, particularly against Team Trump. The case fell apart in late February, and lawyers Ashley Merchant and Steve Sadow questioned Terrence Bradley to try to establish a timeline of a couple's relationship. Bradley is Wade's former law partner and divorce attorney, and was meant to be a key witness in the case against Willis, but that backfired and flopped miserably. I understand Bradley repeatedly stated that he didn't know a thing, including when Willis and Wade actually began dating. So how the relationship began and the trips they took together, he doesn't know anything about that. Bradley repeated that he had only been speculating so many times that many people on social media began to point out that he seems more like an office gossip than a credible witness.
you know. So they had nothing there on Fannie Willison, Special Prosecutor Wade, and they're just trying to get over paying the price and getting punishment for trying to steal the election. And, you know, it's been delayed, and it's not going to go to trial before the election. And I'm just hoping and praying that, you know, when the election happens, Donald Trump loses big, you know, because if he wins, you know, he can't move the federal cases against him, but the state cases, you know, he can pardon himself. No, no, the other way around. You know, the federal cases, he can pardon himself as president, which in itself to me is a conflict of interest. But the state cases that he brought the laws in, he can't, you know. So that will probably put us in a constitutional crisis and everything. So I hope people out there listening to what Republicans are offering, which is nothing, just more tax cuts for the wealthy, 1% individuals and even corporations. And I don't have no plan to strengthen the economy, strengthen the middle class and the working poor. You know, the thing no to everything, including immigration. And, you know, Trump done said in one of his speeches on the campaign trail, his Nazi-type rallies, that, you know, he's going to bring back the wetback policies of Dwight Eisenhower. And that name in itself is racist, the wetback policies, you know. I mean, how more racist can one be saying that, you know? He's just play upon the fears of America. And statistics show that when Americans go over to Mexico, when they come back, 86% of all Americans try to come back with fentanyl to sell to get rich. And Mexicans just come over here by plane or car or whatever, by legal means. But the thing is, they don't go back. And some of them apply for... what's the word? They apply for
visa?
Yeah, they apply for visa and amnesty.
Asylum. Because
you know, drug dealers and drug passes are after them and everything. You know, and any country got to apply for asylum, you know, you have to have you have to get your day in court. And Republicans for the past near 60 years have done nothing in terms of immigration reform. It's just no. And Democrats and Biden and the White House gave them the farm in this latest thing where for 12 weeks, you know, Republicans and Democrats worked together in the Senate to have a comprehensive immigration reform deal. And because Trump, an unelected person, said I shouldn't do it because that's what he's running on, just fell in line. How's that putting the country ahead of your party? You know, you don't want any solutions, you just want to run on hate. Hitler did it, Mussolini did it, now Donald Trump is doing it. Come on, America, wake up, you know? Women's rights.
He thinks the only way to stay out of prison is to get elected and pardon himself and turn the country into a dictatorship. That's what he's doing. He's desperate. And now he's messing his pants because he doesn't. Nobody will help him pay his fines. And that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Yeah, so far. I don't unless it's foreign money, none of the United States places are going to give
them
2 cents.
Well, that's what I mean.
That's why we got to watch for that BS with Russia and Saudi Arabia and his son-in-law. It's and then what's his name? Paul
Manafort.
Yeah, because he's plugged into Russia. That's what he did. He helped Putin screw the oligarchs and get the money for himself, bought up all their, took all, over all their big companies and stuff. So he knows how to do it, and he and Putin wants Trump in the worst way because everybody's pissed off at him now with Ukraine and all that, and the EU and neighboring states are afraid of being taken over by Russia.
Well,
like
Poland
and Ukraine.
Keep in mind, Susan, Poland is next.
Yeah, Poland today said in Warsaw they're building bomb shelters because they're afraid.
That's right.
I believe that. Awful. So let's talk.
My grandmother came to this country during the turn of the century. Her and her brothers and one sister, five of them, there would have been six. They were getting ready to board the boat
the Russians grabbed the youngest boy and said, you don't go. You are going to stay here and be a farmer. The others boarded the boat and came over here. Why, I asked my grandmother, why did you leave Poland? She says, we weren't going to be ruled by Russia. She said, I had a job as a seamstress, but Russia wanted me to only work on the military uniforms. And the same thing with the boys. The boys were butchers. They couldn't come to this country back then unless they had a trade. Well, they all had a trade. So that's how my three great uncles and my grandmother came to this country, because of Russia. Maybe this is why I got into politics. I've always remembered what my grandmother told me.
Yeah. Wait, what's that noise in the background? Could you turn it off, please?
I've got to shut it off. It's my phone. I'm shutting it off.
Okay. Yeah, so Brett Kavanaugh rides the Biden administration defense in a big First Amendment case where the Supreme Court center-right appears to increasingly frustrated with the judiciary far-right. This is an article by Vox, Ian Milheiser is the senior correspondent for Vox. He wrote this article, and he says that there are several recent signs that the federal judiciary center-right is losing patience with its far-right, friends. Last week, a policymaking body within the judiciary announced new steps to combat judge shopping, a practice that has allowed Republican litigants to choose to have their cases heard by partisan judges who are well to the right of even the median Trump appointee. The Supreme Court has also heard several cases in its current term where it appears likely to reverse rulings made by the United States Court of Appeal for the Fifth Circuit, a MAGA stronghold that frequently hands down decisions that appear designated or designed to sabotage the Biden administration. So this past Monday, the Supreme Court held oral arguments in one of these Fifth Circuit cases, known as Murphy versus Missouri, where the lower court handed down a sweeping injunction forbidding much of the federal government from having any communications at all with social media companies. A majority of the justices appeared very unlikely to sustain that injunction on Monday, that Justice Brett Kavanaugh repeatedly noting that the Fifth Circuit approach would prevent the most routine interaction between government officials and the media. So Murphy was one of the two cases heard by the justices on Monday involving so-called jawboning, cases where the government tried to pressure private companies into taking certain actions without necessarily using its course of power to do so. The other case was the National Rifle Association, the NRA, versus Vulo, involving a fairly egregious violation of the First Amendment. Based on Monday's argument, as many as all of nine justices may side with the NRA in that case. And most of the justices, in other words, appeared eager to resolve both cases without significantly altering the court's First Amendment doctrines and without disrupting the government's ability to function. So the good news for the NRA, but it's not good news for the Biden administration. So, Lori, you know, what's your take on this? You know, when Hillary was running and then minority leader from New York, he had a gentleman's agreement and shook hands with Mitch McConnell saying that, we won't appeal or we won't appoint any judges to the Fifth Circuit or the Supreme Court. And Mitch McConnell lied, so there was a vacuum in the court. You know, but he packed the courts with right-leaning judges, push their Christianity in the court system, and want to have biblical laws instead of, laws based off the Constitution. And it's coming back to hurt us now. You know, what's your feeling on this, matter?
It's going to turn out to be good news for the Biden administration. And I'll tell you why. Because the general rule in the First Amendment cases is that the federal government may not coerce a media company into changing which content publishes. but it can ask platforms to, or outlets to remove or alter its content. Indeed, as Kavanaugh pointed out a few times during the oral argument, if the government were not allowed to do so, White House press aides and the likes wouldn't be allowed to speak to reporters to try to shape their coverage. So that's why the Murphy case is a good thing for the Biden administration. And it sounds like it's going to be in President Biden's favor. The other case with the NRA, you know, they always back the NRA. You know, that was a surprise to me, but I'm hopeful that that they do, you know, go along with the Murphy case, so that they're not censored, so the press aides can, you know, talk at, when they're asked questions, you know, and they can reporters. You know, I mean, that's crazy if they can't. And it says, in Murphy, various officials throughout the federal government have many communications with major social media platforms where the officials either asked the platforms to remove certain content or provided them with information that convinced the platforms to do so. These communications concern many topics. The FBI, for example, frequently contacts social media platforms to warn them about criminal or terroristic activity that is occurring online. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency flags social media content for the platforms that are contains election-related disinformation, such as false statements about when an election will take place. The White House sometimes asks social media companies to remove accounts that falsely impersonate a member of the president's family. So many of the communications also involved in government requests that the platform pull down information that contains false and harmful health information, including misinformation about COVID-19. And these communications were center stage during the Murphy oral argument. The Murphy plaintiffs include several individuals who are upset that their content was removed because of platforms determined that it was COVID misinformation. So, you know, you have to be able to be a good judge of what is put out online, and, you know, so this Murphy case can give like the White House authority as well. So I think for that, that's good. The NRA, I'm not surprised at all. They always get what they want. So we can say
like,
about
like,
that.
You know, the non-vaxxers. Now we have, what, a dozen cases of measles here in Michigan? That was gone.
Oh, yeah.
Polio was gone. And because of the poor information online, people are believing it.
Yeah. Everyone got their mumps, measles. What was it? Mumps, measles, and
rubella.
Rubella
and something else. Chicken pox or pox, smallpox.
I mean, it was a no-brainer. You know, that's
what
you did.
And smallpox and chicken pox.
And you had to do that in order to get it in, to go to school. But now, you know, and you know, it's actually selfish for these people, these parents, to not vax their children. And,
well, they don't
you know,
care.
They, yeah, exactly. And they
that's
could be carrying
that's why measles can come back.
So, and give it to another child that can get really sick from it, but that child does not get the measles. You follow what I'm saying? So
I remember getting, it was either measles or chickenpox so bad that I hallucinated and they had the doctor come to the house. That was before they had the vaccine. But, I mean, I was so sick. My temperature was 104. You know, and they think that's why I had to wear glasses because it affected your eyes too.
Now you all know what the measles do to an elderly person.
Probably kill them.
If an elderly person gets measles, not good at all. Even if they were vaccinated, it's a whole different strain than it was when they were young.
Mm-hmm. Okay, later. Let's finish strong, though. Colorado Congressman Ken Buck, 4th Congressional District of Colorado, says that by this week Friday he'll resign and not finish out his term. He's not running for re-election. And Lauren Boebert has absconded her duties as Congresswoman for the 3rd Congressional District. She's running over the 4th because Buck is resigning by Friday. And she knows that writing is on the wall for her in Congressional District 3, as Adam Frisch, the former Navy guy, running and outrunning her and raising her money 10-1. And last time, election cycle in 2022, he lost by just under 600 votes. So she knows she's not really winning district, even though it's a conservative red district. She wants to bring over to the 4th district is even, but you know, darker red. You know,
and
so
David,
I just got a blurb on the news about Boebert. Lauren Boebert brags about securing $20 million in funding that she voted against. She can't wait to cut the ribbon cuttings. And they went through and they talked about all these projects and stuff that were really good for the state that she voted against, that, you know, Biden's infrastructure bill. And, they nailed her right on that. So hopefully it'll be in
and
the
Madeline,
news.
Madeline, you're saying something, Madeline?
Yes, actually, Boebert has she has a decision to make. If she wants that seat in District 4, she's got to officially resign out of District 3.
Mm-hmm.
And if she doesn't win in 4, bye-bye, Boebert.
Yep, Boebert clone is out. You know?
So she's
I
got
get
a
point
big ballsy. Let's see how big her balls are now.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And you made a good point, Susie. You know, where she voted, or a lot of them in this Republican House voted against the infrastructure bill, but yet still are taking credit for it. You know,
absolutely.
Democrats and media need to do a better job in exposing these people as hypocrites and liars for
they
are. You know, because, you know, it's
just released on my
forward.
News thing from Insider, and they went through all the different projects taking care of water and all kinds of things that were really important, bridges and roads and shit, and that she voted against. Mm-hmm. And they said, and then she's quoted as saying, I can't wait to cut the ribbons. Yeah, bitch.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the biggest infrastructure bill since 1952 when Ike was president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, them Republicans give zero votes or zero help. They said no to it, even though American bridges were collapsing, literally collapsing and killing people. Roads are bad. You know, drinking water is shit because they don't care about the environment, air pollution. It's, oh, no, you know, it's a liberal hoax, you know, climate change.
They should publicize
These people have no business being in government when they don't believe science, when they don't believe in education. You know, and these Republicans want to get rid of the Department of Education, the Department of Energy, the Department of Homeland Security, and even the Department of State. You know, how can you run a government and a country without those important departments? They want to, you know, use the Justice Department in case, you know, when Trump come back in as a weapon against the enemies. You know, how sick is that? They actually said these things in public.
Yeah,
I know.
You know, the ones who got the Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. People, since they've been 14, 15 years old working, been putting money through the taxes in the systems. There's not an entitlement. People deserve this money. And how do they want to pay for the tax cut for the welfare? They gave $7 billion already in Trump's 4 years. They want to give more money, even more than $7 billion. You know,
sent you, Robert Reich said? That we can fund Social Security and Medicare, no problem, into the future. There's no ceiling. No, anybody over 300,000 doesn't pay in anymore. Said, no, everybody should pay in all the way to the top. You still pay the same percentage. I don't know what it is, 2% or something, that you pay in.
Mm-hmm.
If the rich ones paid in all the way up, there would be no problem funding it.
Well, here's the thing, too, Susie. All these big fees, every business pays payroll tax.
That's what's going to get cut. That's the incentive they're going to give these business owners to take the Social Security, because they, the payroll taxes help fund Social Security. Mm-hmm. The individual helps to fund Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
They want to give it to Wall Street so you can kiss it goodbye.
Yeah.
That's their plan, people. And if anybody's out there that's a Republican, pay the hell attention. Mm-hmm. These states have to post and on the internet which one of their representatives and senators voted against their self-interest.
Mm-hmm.
These states have no idea who voted what. No,
exactly.
Yes, they want to take credit.
And Michigan's one of the worst on visibility of their voting records and their bank accounts.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Post everything.
So there's one more thing that I find a little, I find this actually very funny. There's a GoFundMe that's set up for the Orange Monster.
Are you serious?
To help pay his legal fees. So the GoFundMe is set up for $355 million. And guess what? It's falling short, $354 million.
Sorry. Good. People aren't so stupid.
I thought that was funny.
That's a good one.
I was laughing. Yeah. Let's see, this Elena Cordone, the wife of a multimillionaire influencer and investor Grant Cardone, set up the fundraiser on February 16th, the same day former president was ordered to pay back millions after a judge ruled he had fraudulently inflating his wealth for years. Days later, Cardone was so thrilled to announce that her fundraiser had reached $1 million mark. However, in the past few weeks, the dial has only moved by another $360,000, accumulating a grand total of $1.36 million as of Monday evening. It comes as failed to get a bond to secure the whole $464 million fraud judgment against him, his lawyers announced on Monday, March 18th. I think that's hysterical. And I find it ridiculous that this multimillionaire influencer, you know, set up a GoFundMe for this fraud of a man that he is.
Mm-hmm.
And the
you gotta wonder how long his lawyers are going to be around if he doesn't have money. Aren't they going to hit the road really fast?
You know, that's, you know, I've been wondering about that.
Well, he's probably paying them in advance, because if they had a brain in their head, they want the money up front. Once that money's out, they're gone. How many has he gone through? There's a shit ton left.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe the reason he can't secure money is that he has signed his properties over to these attorneys.
Who knows? You know, who knows what he's done to keep these attorneys on, because we all know that he stiffs everybody. You know, because
he's don't
really
work
not.
Nothing.
Yeah, he is not a billionaire, and
Lori
he might not
and
even
ladies.
Be a millionaire.
Yeah, Lori and ladies,
so I'm wondering how many of his pieces of property he has told his attorneys they can have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet. Yes. What were you saying, David?
Yes, so artificial intelligence, utopia or dystopia? Should it be regulated? That's what somebody is asking. Artificial intelligence,
Absolutely.
Is that utopia or dystopia? Should it be regulated?
Yes.
I believe it should be regulated, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Because they can broadcast people saying anything. They can make, you know, Biden look like a fool and Trump like a genius. And you think it's him, but it isn't them, you know?
Right.
You guys remember that? He was a scientist. He was all in a wheelchair.
Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking.
Before he died, he put out a warning about AI, artificial intelligence. saying that it's going, it can destroy the world. And he's absolutely right. I believe that. I do. Because when you don't know if that is really that person that's talking or, you know, if it's an influencer, if it's a person, if it's fake, if it's propaganda, it's trouble. It is trouble.
Even without that, you see people like seniors getting scammed out of their money. They're thinking that,
yeah.
I get a call, oh, Grandma, I'm in jail. I'm your grandson. I said, I don't have one, you know, and swear at him and hang up. You know, and my dad was scammed. Somebody did that to him. She thought it was his grandson, and he sent him $8,000.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they can't tell the difference. And this was on the phone. Dad couldn't hear good. But, you know, when you see them, the videos, they look so real, and they're talking, and they mimic the voices. You cannot tell the difference.
No, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's scary as hell.
It might be good for some things, but it needs to be regulated. That,
for sure.
You know, and I think they're behind the eight ball.
Yeah, and that has to be the last word, ladies. Thank you for calling in, Elaine and Madeline and Susan, Michigan. Thank you so much for calling in.
Have a good night, you guys.
Oh, wait, we just have 4 minutes, and we'll have one more caller. Let's take this call up. Hello, caller from 404 Airport. What's cooking tonight? We'll have 3 minutes.
Oh, what's up, David? No, I was just catching the end of you guys' show, so just wanted to switch off for continuing to do the work, man. This is necessary, especially from now to November, so...
Yes, and you know the neo-Nazis, and KKK listening and sending threats and everything, but we're not moved or deterred by them, because they're all talk, they're all they're keyboard warriors. We're not afraid of them.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, let them come full blast. We'll be ready for them. You know, just keep threatening KKK and neo-Nazis. We're not afraid of you. You know, we're putting America first, unlike your candidate, Donald Trump. And we're not able moved by your threats and your arrogance and your stupidity. You can't even spell in your threat letter. You know, so, you know, I have to say to them, go to hell, you know. And we had a couple right-wingers calling tonight. We didn't take the calls and everything, because what the right-wing tend to do is deflect. You know, we're supposed to be having a conversation and ask 10 questions back to back. And when you go through them and everything, you know, they switch up on you. You know, there's no, you know, speaking, you know, with right-wing people, especially Trumpers. They don't know how to debate. They don't know how to have a polite conversation. So, you know, we decided that we're not going to take any more right-wing calls. And, you know, if you somehow get on air by a fluke, you know, we're going to listen to you for like 1 minute. If you come with the same bullshit, you're just going to get hung up on, because we're not going to tolerate stupidity.
Nope.
You know, call Sean Hannity, call Mike Savage, call whomever, but don't call the show, because you will not be entertained. You're idiots.
Right.
So, thank you, everybody, for calling in. I'm losing my voice
David,
and everything.
David, before you close out, can I just say this? It's still hilarious to watch the Trump supporters today eat up the idea of this man talking about the car wars from the 80s in 2024 as if that's a real thing. Like, yeah, China and Mexico are going to come and steal our car manufacturing share of the world economy. Like, that is insane that he can say that to these people and they believe it. Like, what?
Exactly. It's ridiculous. These people are goddamn ridiculous. They cannot take it seriously, especially Trump.
And you know, the funny thing is we can't even make stuff up. You can't even make this stuff up. It's so unbelievable. You can't make it up. You know?
Oh, just call it like you see it, Laurie. You can't make this shit up.
We're trying not to swear on the show anymore.
Oh, sorry.
Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Check out our website at kitchenpolitics123.com. We'll have great articles and one more coming from me.
It's being edited now to be posted soon, within 2-3 days tops. And we'll have some new recipes on there. So just go to Kitchen Social, click the Kitchen Social button, and you'll see all the recipes that there are. So this has been Kitchen Politics for Monday, March 18th, 2024. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, everyone. Good night, David. Everyone have a good
night. Good night, ladies. Good night, David.
Good night. We'll see everyone on Thursday. And good night. Come on, let's go pee. Let's go pee.
I've made the preservation of American democracy the central issue of my presidency. I believe in free and fair elections and the right to vote fairly and have your vote counted. There's something dangerous happening in America. There's an extremist movement that does not share the basic beliefs of our democracy. All of us are being asked right now, what will we do to maintain our democracy? History's watching. The world is watching. Most important, our children and grandchildren will hold us responsible. The Vice President and I have supported voting rights since day one of this administration, and I ask every American to join me in this cause. America is still a place of possibilities where the power resides with we, the people. That's our soul. We are the United States of America. There is nothing beyond our capacity. We act together. I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message. If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living your name, cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. Hey, and I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I won't you and the same birth to today, cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to L.A. Well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, that I'm proud to be an American. Well, at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I'm happy to stand up next to you when the band hurts till the day. Cause there ain't no doubt I don't give back. God bless the USA. I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I'm glad to stand right next to you, and it's been hurt till today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this man. God bless the USA.
You know you've written a successful poem when people really think